So I had a wonderful sleep last night, and I think it's in part due to my new mattress. My boyfriend and I got a Casper recently, and we absolutely love it. We love to sleep at home. I should say that because we travel a lot and, we sleep on the road quite a bit. And coming home and sleeping in our own bed is absolutely incredible. We think it's the comfiest bed we have ever had. And I think it really is because of the Casper. So if you guys have not heard of Casper, they are an online retailer of premium mattresses that are available for the fraction of the price of a standard normal mattress that you would get at a mattress store. And, the mattress industry has inherently forced customers into paying really high markups. So Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms, and they're passing that savings directly on to you. So it comes in a box, which is so cool, literally delivered in a box to your door. You open it up, and then poof, you have a mattress. They cost $850 for a queen size, $950 for a king size mattress, $500 for a twin, and $600 for a twin XL, $750 for a full size. And to me, that is a smoking deal. So it is really interesting to me that an engineered mattress is available at such a shockingly fair price. It is just the right amount of sink, just the right amount of bounce. There's two technologies involved, a hybrid of latex foam and memory foam. And with Casper, you get a risk-free trial and return policy. You can try sleeping on your Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. The mattresses are made in America. And again, some of those prices, $500 for a twin-size mattress and $950 for a king-sized. So compare that to the industry averages. That is an outstanding price point. So we have a special offer to listeners of our show today. You can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lovin and using promo code lovin. Again, $50 off any mattress. Visit casper.com/lovin and using promo code lovin. Terms and conditions apply. This is Lo. Welcome to a brand new episode of Lady Lovin' on this beautiful Monday morning. I am here with Greta and Jilly. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi. And we have no guest on the show today.
I know, you guys. It's just the three of us.
What's cool about this episode
is that when people hear it, we will have recorded it the day of.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's kind of like it's live.
Yeah.
This is a live episode.
This is a live episode coming to you from New York City.
It's very early in the morning.
It is. It's like very early,
guys. It's a beautiful day, though.
Yeah, it is really beautiful.
And my brother and his girlfriend is here in town, and I get to show them the city, so I'm really looking forward to it. My dog is being a monster.
Blue's being a bad boy.
What has he done, you guys? I missed all the drama.
So my boyfriend went to Singapore last night. He travels a lot for work. And since he has left, Blue has shit and pissed twice in the wrong places, like pooed twice and peed twice. This morning he was sitting next to me, next to my computer, and I was getting the thing ready to record the show, and he looks up at me and he just pisses all over my computer.
He's acting out.
Do you think that it's because your boyfriend is the one who lays down the law?
That's what Greta said.
I think that it's because he knows that, like, he knows that one of the other rulers of the house is gone, so he's gonna try and, like, fuck with Lo a little, push his boundaries. Yeah. But in reality, Lo is the real rule maker.
That's very true. Lo is the boss.
So Blue is really literally barking up the wrong tree.
He totally is.
Bernie revolts. Now that my sister lives with me, like, Bernie totally revolts. Bernie started fucking peeing in the house again because my sister lives with me, and he's, like, psychotically territorial over her.
And he's six.
Yeah. He's an old fucking dog.
So, you guys, you're not even gonna believe what happened to me this week. So you both have dogs, and I just got, guess,
a fish.
A new apartment.
A plant. And I'm very excited about it. I don't even know what kind it is, but my friend gave
tall?
It to me.
Does it need a lot of light?
So she sends me this text message, and she's like, if you treat it right, it will grow really tall. It's a very fickle plant. Doesn't like to be moved around. Likes indirect sunlight. 2 cups of water once a week. And she's like, if the roots sit in water, the plant will rot. And don't pick off the leaves. I'm like, okay, this is a lot of responsibility for me. I don't even know, but it's really cute.
I mean, here's the thing. My sister... Oh, wait. Hold on.
It might be like the same plant you have in your bedroom, but smaller.
Banana leaf?
It is. No, it's a fiddle leaf fig.
Yeah, it's a fiddle leaf fig.
Fiddle leaf... That's like... Here's the dealio with these plants.
I'm so excited, you guys.
Okay, my sister got a fiddle leaf fig plant.
Okay.
And... my sister, who's the most, like, in a good way, she is very diligent about caring for things that she needs to care about. So she really took care of the plant the way it was supposed to be taken care of, talked to it, all of this stuff. The plant got so big, it couldn't stay inside the house. So we tried to give it to Lo.
I'll take it.
Why don't you give it to Lo?
So my sister ended up giving it to... our friend Alita, who is an interior designer for these big working spaces,
I've been waiting for my tree to show up.
I know they have a green, what is it? A green room? A green? You know what I'm talking about?
Like a
plant.
Isn't it just called greenhouse?
Greenhouse. Thank you. Okay. And it's living in a pretty greenhouse on top of a roof of this beautiful workspace in whatchamacallit?
Brooklyn. Chelsea?
I think in Brooklyn,
I don't know.
Yes.
Whatever.
The thing All right, is, that's nice.
It's really interesting to me that this plant has gotten me so excited.
Well, it's nice to have something to care for. Honestly, when I think about Bernie, my dog, I'm like, if I didn't have my dog, what would be the purpose of my
life? True, but I cannot compare a plant. If I don't have this plant, I think my life would still have
But
purpose.
It's something to think about. It's like, oh, I need to water this thing. I need to take care of this thing. I need to make sure this thing doesn't die.
Yeah, it's nice to have responsibility for something else. I feel the same way about Blue. That's a big reason why we got a dog is because I'm looking for some responsibility in
it's
that
because
kind
you want
of way.
A baby and the dog is the first step.
I don't know if I want a baby yet.
Not True. Yet. I wish that all of our listeners could see Blue, though, because right now he's just like rolling around on the floor, chewing a bone, being the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, we'll have to do a video series.
I will. But the bone that he's chewing is a stand-in for Sesame Street, basically. You know, like when you have a baby and he's being crazy and you put him in front of Sesame Street. He's chewing a bone right now because we're recording the podcast, and he woke up just in a mood. So, yeah, but look on my Instagram for pictures of Blue. He's all over it right now.
He's the cutest.
He's very sweet.
All right, well, let's get into what we are talking about today.
No.
And why? Do you want to talk more about plants and dogs?
Yes.
I'm really excited because today we are talking about, we're basically just answering some of the advice emails that we've received on our website from different listeners. And
We're going to answer all your questions.
That makes me really excited because I love when you guys send us notes and you kind of, share what you guys are going through so we can help you out with some of our, you know, past experiences, our past struggles.
Our knowledge. We're so knowledgeable.
All right. Our first note that I'm going to read is from Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Hello.
Jackie is a mid-20-year-old, and she is in an 8-month relationship with her boyfriend, and she's not sure where it's going. She says there's no plans to break up anytime soon, but no plans to get married. They have plans for the future, like trips, but they still haven't said the L word. She's getting a little scared that she's investing too much time and energy into someone or something that she doesn't know if it's, you know, where they're headed. Have we ever been in this sort of situation? Would we ask our guy where he sees it's going? Is it too soon to worry about that? She's having a little bit of difficulty going with the flow, and she thinks it's a protection thing, so she wanted our advice about that.
That's a good question.
I'm curious, Jackie, where you live, because 24 is, in my humble opinion, pretty young to be getting married and to be taking the next step.
I agree with that.
Cool.
I was in a serious relationship when I was that age, and I thought that he was going to be my husband for sure.
I thought, so was I. I was in a relationship too, and I was like, oh, we're going to get married. Yeah. And thank God we didn't, because I feel like you do so much growing around the time you're 27 to 30. You'd come out the other end as a completely different person.
Yeah.
And if you're able to grow in your relationship with your partner, then like fabulous. But there's so much change that happens within you from 24 to 30. And so like being in a relationship and wondering is so difficult.
Yeah.
But you're doing too much what ifing. That's what my therapist told me. He was like, stop what ifing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is instead? Like, what is the reality? The reality is like, you're happy, you're cool, you're content. Just go with the flow.
Yeah.
I also think that when you are 24, which is younger, I guess compared to, you know, how late people are now getting married and what Lo was saying about how much you do grow, there's no need to really rush it, I would say. I would say if you are like 31, maybe 32, and you're in an 8-month relationship and you're not sure where it's going, that's maybe when you can, you know, be a little bit more serious about it. But yeah, definitely. But I feel like if you're happy and he's happy and you're at that age, I would just sort of, you know, keep it going. And if there's some larger concerns, you know, with the way either of you are acting or that sort of thing, that's something to bring up. But if you're happy, I would just say enjoy it. You know what I mean? I don't think that there's any need to rush. But I'm also curious, Jackie, how old your boyfriend is.
My biggest concern here is why you guys haven't said I love you. Only because I think that if you're dating with someone for 8 months, if you love him, you should feel comfortable enough to tell him you love him, and he should definitely reciprocate that love. For me, I agree with Lo and Jilly. I think that if you're happy and you're having a good time and you're content in the relationship and you're enjoying yourself, that's really all that matters. I think that when we're younger and our lives seem to be pretty unstable and unsure, and we're not sure what we're doing professionally, and we're not sure what we're doing in our everyday, we seek this stability in our relationships. So I think that rather than thinking like, am I going to marry him? Is this going to be forever? Just try and be like present in the relationship and see if it's something that you really want to be doing at this time.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, if there's a reason why he hasn't said, I love you, is it something to do with, you know, you guys not being that connected? Is it something like larger than that rather than just the simple words?
Yeah. It's hard for a lot of people to do that.
It's really hard. And also, that being said,
for a lot of men, I think it's difficult to expose yourself emotionally in that way.
I think it's difficult for everyone to expose themselves emotionally. It's because it's difficult to be that vulnerable and to like really let your guard down and be like, hey, I really love you and I'm really invested in this relationship. That being said, you guys could be, you know, soulmates, and you guys could actually end up together for forever and ever. But I think it's about like taking your time and not feeling rushed. 24 is so fucking young.
I'm so jealous.
And just take your time with it, and you shouldn't be feeling pressure. Like, don't compare your relationship to that of your friends, because every relationship is different.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, also when I was dating that guy that I was really serious with, and I was about the same age, I didn't say I love you till after 6 months of dating him. And he told me he loved me after 2 months. And for me, you know, taking that next step, it was the first time I was in love, or the first time that I was like allowing myself, I think, to fall that much. And I think that I was really scared and really nervous. And I knew that once I committed to those feelings, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And like, even the first time I said it, I cried. I was just like, okay, like now, like, I've not like you have me, take me kind of thing, but it was very much like me letting my guard down, being open, being like, okay, I'm going to really try at this. And I think that that's something that's really scary, and that can take people a bit to get to.
Yeah. So what would our final words be? Our final words of advice be?
I have an additional thought.
Let's hear it, Lo.
I'm curious, because like when I reread the email, I'm not getting a lot of like a lot from Jackie that's like, I love him so much, I really want to be with him, you know, why hasn't he told me he loves me? It's more like, I don't know what's gonna happen, and should I be investing so much, and should I ask him, you know, what's up? And I guess you have to ask yourself why you need to know so badly.
Right. Maybe you're in limbo with it. Maybe you don't even know if you want to be in the relationship, and knowing more how he feels and where he stands will help solidify how you feel in the relationship.
Yeah, I think that the unknown can be really difficult for a lot of people.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that's the worst part of being, like, not knowing where you stand with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your friends in general is the worst feeling in the world.
It's difficult. And so, you know, if that really is your concern, like you need some sense of security or stability to be able to continue to give your best version of yourself to your relationship, then I don't see a problem with having a really just
honest,
simple
combo.
Conversation that's like, hey, like, I know we've been dating for a couple months and I really like you. I'm not asking you to marry me or anything like that, but, you know, do you like me? Do you want to be with me for a while? How do you
feel? Yeah, I think that's what I would say that would be great advice to do.
Like, you should just sit down and have a really honest conversation.
Yeah, you know, like, do you want to be in a relationship until you're married, or do you see yourself being single again? You know, like, how do you see the next 5 years of your life going?
And if you can't have that open, honest conversation with your partner, then you should definitely break up.
Yeah, yes. I think so too.
Because if you can't be honest, then there's no, then you shouldn't be alive. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
No, but it, seriously,
that's like,
if you
kind
can't
of like pointed advice and really harsh, I think a lot of people will be like, what? But it's totally true. Yeah. You have to be able to communicate honestly, or else what is the fucking point?
There is literally no point.
True.
Okay. Well, Jackie, we hope it works out.
We do, Jackie. And if not, you will find a man that will love you and
also, you're a great woman.
You
just need to know that.
Yeah.
All right. Our next note is from Allie. Allie has just landed an internship in Washington, D.C. this summer.
My home.
Woo-woo. And she is looking for some advice on what to wear to work and do's and don'ts in the office. And what advice we would give ourselves at 23, starting our first job.
Don't give the president a BJ in the Oval Office.
Definitely 100% agree.
Sorry,
great
was
piece
that
of
rude?
Advice.
No.
I'm super excited about this question because I've had so many internships and so many jobs throughout my life, and it's always so, you know, kind of nerve-wracking when you're starting at a new company and you're making new friends, and you also need to work really hard and present yourself in like a really positive light. So thank you so much, Allie, for reaching out about this.
I personally believe that you can never like be too professional in that kind of environment. So in terms of like what to wear to work, I would don't wear jeans, you know, don't wear t-shirts. Like, I would definitely get a nice pair of pants. I would get some nice dresses that will be, you know, that you'll be able to wear comfortably in the hot, hot DC summer because it's a disgusting swamp down there. So I would just, you know, dress professional. Dress for the job you want.
Yeah.
I feel like in DC too, everybody's very conservative and you definitely have to dress that way just to fit in. I feel like in a lot of jobs you don't, especially as an intern, you don't want to make waves. You don't want people talking about you in the office.
And you're on Capitol Hill and it is very conservative down there.
Yeah.
So like,
and for good purpose. They're making laws.
It's not a terrible thing, but I really think like I had a internship one summer where it was super corporate and I just found myself kind of getting into like a little uniform groove, which helped me personally.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I have these like slacks I'm going to wear. I have these blouses I'm going to wear and I have a couple dresses I'm going to wear. And that was all that I needed because I didn't need to invest a ton of money into all these work clothes.
And I think also being comfortable. If you wear something you're uncomfortable in, then you're going to not be able to work as hard. So I think that that's also really important. And even just sort of putting yourself together so you feel the best, because if you can avoid all of those like extra things in your life, then you can like handle anything else that comes near you without being stressed.
Yeah.
And like when I say like dress so you look good, it's more just however, whatever that means to you. So if that is curling your hair, then curl your hair. If that's not curling your hair, then don't curl your hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just whatever makes you feel confident.
Yeah, for sure.
I did something once that was really helpful. I had a friend help me and we took a Saturday, like a couple hours, and I laid out all of my clothes. And I was like, all right, how can I turn these 15 items into a million different outfits? And you just take photos of yourself in all of these different combinations, and you can immediately see what you look like.
Yeah.
And if you like the way that you look, and having a little library of go-to outfits, I think so helpful in getting out the door, making sure you look appropriate, also making sure everything's flattering.
I used to wear pants to my work, like when I was working corporately, I used to wear pants that I would then bring a different top with me. So if I was like going to do something after work and I wanted to feel like
a little
more
loose,
spunky, I would just change
some dangly earrings.
Exactly,
perhaps.
Some hoops. Oh, but another word of advice is in terms of like office etiquette and how to behave. I think there's a lot of value in socializing with your coworkers.
Definitely.
So I think that if at the end of the workday everyone's going to go to like a happy hour or you know, grab a meal, or during lunch if everyone's going to grab lunch, definitely involve yourself in that and don't be shy, because that's how you make connections, that's how you meet people, and it's really important to socialize with the people that you work with.
Yeah, and I 100%. Think in terms of the business side, I feel like a lot of times when people get internships, they're kind of more afraid to speak their mind, and I think that there's a time for you to actually, you know, have an opinion, and people have brought you on as an intern because they see something in you, they see something special inside of you. So I think that I would say, you know, don't be so silent. Definitely, obviously, be respectful. But if people want your opinion on their product, give it. And if people want, you know, are talking to you and asking you questions about, you know, the job and everything, just be honest. And I think that will really shine through, because I think a lot of people are a little bit timid in that situation. So if you're able to stand out by, you know, giving intelligent advice, I think that that's really a great thing.
I agree. And I would find one or two people in the office that maybe you're not working for directly that and become invaluable to them. Get coffee, like run an errand for them.
Yeah,
and
don't wear heels. Don't wear heels to work.
You know, I think that if you can, the more friends you can make in high places, the better. They're people that, you know, you can always call for a reference or, you know, for questions about another job. And, you know, something that I always admired when we had interns is like, if you're an intern, scan the office and be like, what is in fucking disarray here? Like, what could use organizing?
Yeah.
What could use an update or a new system? And find a project, get permission, obviously, get permission and create a project for yourself that lasts for a couple weeks or over the course of your internship that, you know, you came up with on your own that you think would make a really big difference in, you know, organization or how things are run or some kind of process, or just a huge fucking stack of binders in the corner that you know has not been touched for like 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, do something that is kind in that way,
yeah.
And you will be remembered and rewarded for that.
I actually goes back to the story. The first, I got this internship right after college because I couldn't find a job. I was like desperately trying to work in the entertainment industry. I literally applied a million places. I went through like a headhunter. I went through like an agency. Could not find a job. Finally, I got a temp job, and all it was filing paper. And I literally would get there to the office at 8 a.m., sit in this like closet and file paper for like 3 weeks. And finally, at the end of 3 weeks, they were like, you did such a great job filing paper, and we're going to hire you. And that's how I got my job at CAA, Creative Artist Agency. So I'd also say that if you are doing a task that you feel like is so stupid and so doesn't have
any
meaning, and that sort of thing, just do it, because if you work hard, it will pay off. And I think that, you know, don't go into a job thinking that you're above any of these like smaller tasks, because they really can, even though they seem kind of stupid, they really can help you get further in your career.
Also, my mom used to always tell me that like everyone you meet, you're going to meet again. So like, don't burn bridges. Don't be mean. I mean, not like I think that you would, but sometimes for
yeah,
me,
Allie,
I could
we don't
get,
think you'd be mean. Well, don't worry.
I would get like saucy because I would be like, I'm too good for this shit. I don't want to fucking do this job. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And honestly, sometimes I would have a really bad attitude and I would complain about it to my mom. And my mom would be like, stop complaining. You have a job. You're learning. We all have to start somewhere. And just remember that, like, everyone that you meet, you will meet again. So think about it as wanting to be the best version of yourself and just try your hardest. And also, from a lesson I learned, don't get, like, if you are out after work drinking with your coworkers and you feel yourself getting drunk,
yeah,
go home.
Stop drinking.
Like, go
say,
home.
Say, just even if you don't say bye to anyone, yeah, just, like, leave.
Just go home.
Nothing good can come from that.
Yeah. Oh, I have one last piece of
advice.
Let's
hear it.
If you have an internship and it is horribly boring and you hate it, don't just stop going and never notify anybody at your office.
Does that happen to you?
Yeah, it has happened many times.
What do you mean? People just like don't show up and then you email them and they don't respond?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happened when I was working in production and photography. We would
that's
have people
crazy.
That were supposed to be there and they would just not show up and yeah. then people are fucked.
Yeah, an unpaid internship. You know, you've been going for a couple weeks. You don't yeah. have enough to do. You're super bored and, you know, you're young. And so instead of being brave enough to talk to somebody about it or say, hey, this is not working out for me, whatever, they just ghost on you.
Oh my God. And it's like
that, but I think that that is a valid point. Like, if you are in an internship or doing a job that you actually fucking hate, that's making you miserable,
yeah.
talk to the people. Like, definitely quit. Definitely quit. But before you quit, go to whoever is in charge and talk to them. Tell them your concerns. Tell them what's wrong. Because more oftentimes than not, everyone's so busy, they're not even, like, thinking about this other shit.
Right. They'll probably give you something else to do.
And they'll probably feel really bad that you hate it so much.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But people have a soft spot for interns, especially if you're working for free.
Definitely. And, you know, that's why you do internships, to see if you love or hate whatever it is
yeah,
that you're trying
to do. Yeah, and there's also nothing wrong in hating a job.
Yeah.
There's also totally, I fucking hated this one job that I had. I had it for 3 months and I was like, yep, I'm good on this. I can't do that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. That was a good question.
All
yeah.
right. Well, moving on to the next question is from Sarah. And Sarah would love to hear us speak more about some of like the mental health issues we've been going through, as all three of us have had mental health issues, and sort of what that means to us. She said that we briefly had spoken about anxiety, depression, and, you know, she would love to just hear some more advice on how we deal with that and any tips or tricks that we've found that really help us stay afloat.
Sure.
Should we just go in a circle?
Yeah, Greta, would you like to start?
You want me to start?
Sure, if you want.
Sure.
No pressure. This is, you know, a free open zone.
I'm going to keep this brief because I feel like the three of us could talk for a very long time about this topic.
Yes.
I have struggled with like depression and anxiety my entire life. Like, I think coming to consciousness, I was an anxious child. And I've been in and out of therapy. I took Lexapro for a while. I was off Lexapro. I've, you know, been dealt with a lot of family issues, and I'm sure as many of our listeners know, my mom died and my parents had a bad divorce. So, you know, the normal stuff that happens to all of us in our life. And I think that what has been the most helpful for me is taking a step back. I'm a very eager person. I'm not very patient. You know, it's like when I put my mind to something, I want it now, and I get very upset and frustrated with myself if it doesn't work out, and then I become really hard on myself, and I internalize it, and it turns into depression, and then I become unable to be productive. So my biggest struggle has been to take a step back, to be more patient, to not be so hard on myself, and to try really hard to be present and like focus on the things that I am grateful for. So mm-hmm. I think a way that I try and manage my anxiety every day is I try and wake up in a positive mindset, which is very hard for me sometimes, mm-hmm. and just be like, okay, well, today is Monday and I'm going to work hard on what I want to do today. I'm going to try and accomplish some stuff, and other than that, I'm grateful for, you know, my friends, my family, my health, and you know, it's shitty to constantly have to give yourself perspective, but life sucks. Like, life is really fucking hard, and I think that it's okay to recognize that. It's okay to feel shitty. So it's also like giving yourself the permission to be like, you know what, today's a shit day, and that's fine, but just, you need to make a commitment to yourself to try and work yourself out of it and try and be good to yourself. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but my biggest advice would be just try and be good to yourself and treat yourself with respect and take every day for just the day that it is, you know? And that's kind of all that I can say. Meditate, eat right, exercise, all those things have been huge, huge. Eating right and working out are two things that like saved my life.
Yeah.
Because when I was really spiraling, I was not eating right. I was not working out. I was partying too much.
Definitely.
I was not sleeping. So, you know, you just have to figure out a way to balance all of it. And it's really fucking hard. So, yeah.
It's amazing how big an impact the physical things that you do to your body have on your emotional and mental state. At least for
totally.
Me.
No, I think it's like for everyone.
Crazy.
Because it distresses, when you're putting your physical body under distress, it puts your brain under distress.
Yeah, definitely. I'll go next. So I don't know if all of our listeners know, in the fall of last year, I don't want to say I lost my mind, but I started going through some really bad anxiety. All of a sudden, I was anxious all the time, like full-blown panic attacks 24/7 for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I had no idea what was wrong. And like, my mind was racing, and you know, it turned into depression for me. It's just like out of nowhere. I think because I was just so distraught and I couldn't figure it out. And so I think my first piece of advice is, if you have something going on, you have to speak up. Don't suffer in silence. Whether it's a friend or a doctor or somebody in your family, tell them what is going on with you. I remember I was like freaking out, and I had breakfast or lunch with Greta, and I like walked into the restaurant at St. Ambrose, and she was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And she was like,
"You have to go."
No, she was like, "I have never seen you like this before. What is wrong?" And I was like, "Honestly, Greta, I don't know, but my brain and body was like on 100 all the time." And I think, like Greta, I have had anxiety since I was a kid. I always worry that, you know, every time a family member leaves the house, they're going to get hit by a bus, or definitely my airplane is like going to go down, and I have, I like always have a brain tumor, that kind of stuff. I'm always worrying about all of the terrible things that could happen. And it's interesting because when I was younger, I really prided myself on not being very, very emotional, being able to really like turn off the switch and like remove myself from stuff. But I always, like, alone in my mind, had all of these concerns. And looking back now, I am really happy that all of the things that have always kind of been like my things have come to the surface, and that and I'm dealing with them, because I see now that I would never be able to really be successful in my relationships as an adult without dealing with the stuff that has like lived inside of me forever. And so, you know, that's what I'm doing right now. And I don't want it to be this like huge thing, but because I think a lot of people go through this. I think it's a shared experience.
Everyone, like, if you are a human person, you struggle with your feelings. It's just, like,
of
part of being alive, because it's hard.
Definitely. But I would say that, like, with depression specifically, if you are really feeling down for days or weeks and, like, you can't really figure out why, and you're running all of these reasons why through your head trying to figure it out, like, chances are, like, you might just be depressed. It might not be, like, oh, this fight, or oh, this job, or oh, this one thing. Like, the chemicals in your brain could just
it's
be
very
in
real.
An imbalance. It's really real. And, like, talking to one person will open the door to talking to more people about it and getting help for yourself.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah, it's your turn.
It's so funny because I feel like now I'm going to be like, well, when I was depressed, you know what I mean?
Well, but this is real. And I don't, it's and true. I think it's something that you shouldn't, if you suffer from depression and you struggle from depression, do not feel ashamed. Don't feel like you need to hide it.
It's not your fault.
No.
The interesting thing for me is so like recently, obviously you both know I've been like kind of an emotional mess, and Lo and Greta have both been very helpful. I've never been on any medicine before, but I've always, like I said, struggled with depression, anxiety, that sort of thing. Also just being sad, this overwhelming feeling of like sadness and like feeling alone.
And hopelessness.
Yeah, that sort of thing, which is different than depression because for me, it's like I'm not, you know, I'm still functioning. I'm able to get out of bed. I'm able to go to the gym. I'm able to do all the things. I'm able to work. It's not so much life. It's not taking over my life, but it's
definitely...
that's
still a depression.
Yeah, it's a different type of thing, though. Like, from the different therapy that I've been in, it's, like, more of, like, an overwhelming sense of sadness rather than a depression. And that's been sort of interesting for me to try...
Like a perspective?
Yeah, which is for me to try to change that perspective in my mind. So it's a lot of mindfulness that I'm dealing with. I did, for a while, think that I needed to be on medicine because I was getting sad and crying all the time. But having realized that it's not, for me specifically, a depression, it's more of just that feeling that I need to somehow work on, that's been really helpful for me. Not that I'm anti-medicine or I'm anti-anyone that needs to be on it, but I do think that sometimes people get overprescribed, and that's something to, like, check in on. Like, if you are sad, figure out, like, what the reason is and figure out what your process of healing that's going to be. Don't just do a quick fix of medicine, because even though when you do take medicine, you also have to do a million other things to work on that, too. You're not just going to take a pill and everything is going to be changed that day.
Right.
So that's
a lot of personal work.
Definitely. But for me recently, the things that I've been doing, I guess, would just be like exercising and, you know, taking time for myself and just really trying to change that negative narrative that I create in my brain, which is difficult. A lot of mine has to do with, like, you know, how I was treated by men and different people in my life and being taken advantage of and that sort of thing. And that's something that, you know, I'm standing up for myself now, and I'm putting myself in better situations with guys and with friends and work and all of that. So those are all the things I'm working on, but it's definitely a process. Like, I don't have, you know, all of the answers to that now. Is it something that I'm really going through now?
And I also do, we also do understand that, like, look, taking the time to work on yourself is a fucking privilege, right? Like, so many people work every fucking hour of the day, have so many stresses, have families, have, you know, really stressful day-to-day lives. So if you can just find the time, like, what I find to be really helpful is when I wake up first thing in the morning, just first thing in the morning, I take the first 15 minutes I'm awake, and I have started to just catalog things that I'm grateful for in my brain and just take a few deep breaths. And even doing that, like, little step or trying to do that every day, I think will eventually make a huge impact. Like, I recognize not everyone can afford therapy, not everyone can afford medication, not everyone can afford to do all these things. So it is just about finding little moments where you can prioritize yourself, whether it's in your car or on a coffee break or just little things that you can try and do, because those little things will eventually create big changes.
Yeah. Was that Vanessa from Model Fit who did
had
that
who
suggestion?
Writes, definitely.
Writes it down. Yeah.
The gratefulness, like, five things I'm grateful for before I go to sleep and five things I'm grateful for when I wake up. I was doing that for a little while too, and it was really helpful.
I think it's a really helpful thing, and it's like, you know, everyone struggles, so don't feel alone and don't feel weird that you struggle. Everyone struggles.
The other thing I wanted to say is if you are able to go to therapy, a lot of insurance does cover that, and a lot of times, even if they don't, you can submit it to your insurance and they will cover some of that. But when you're going to a therapist, you don't have to be, like, set with that specific therapist. I think a lot of times it's hard for people to switch therapy because you're like, oh, I've already told this person so much. But if you really feel like you're not challenging yourself in therapy and you don't see a change, go to a new therapist, because you're just spending all that time and all that money somewhere that's not on someone that's not really, like, you know, helping you see things a different way. So I would say just try a bunch of therapists too, because I don't think that I think that, like, staying with one specific one and you don't see a change is hard.
Right. Yeah. A therapist is not one size fits all, for
Definitely.
Sure.
And there's so many out there.
There's different kinds of therapy.
Yeah.
You know, do a little research and look into it. And, like, honestly, I feel like therapy and going to see a doctor and that kind of stuff, it can become something that you can look forward to.
Yeah.
Sort of like light at the end of the tunnel.
It can be a
like,
huge relief.
Yeah. Especially when you're starting to go through the process. It's like, oh, yes, like, I have a therapy appointment on Thursday. I'm so excited for that, to be able to get into some of the stuff
and
that I'm
look,
dealing with.
Even though I did say that life sucks and life is really hard, life is also the most incredible gift that we could get, and it's like a really amazing thing. So
yeah.
There can be really dark days, but it's amazing and it's wonderful and it's so incredible everything that we get to experience in this life. So I really believe that though you can have the shittiest days, remember how much incredible stuff there is to experience, to feel, to see, to try and do that.
Yeah.
The last thing I did want to say too is, you know, for me, when I was kind of really just not okay, it's very hard for me to talk to my family about that and to talk to certain friends about like what I'm going through. It's much easier to just see them when I'm happy and not see them when I'm sad. And I think that, you know, the minute that I called Lo and was sort of like, I don't know what to do, it was just a huge sigh of like, you know, just like I felt like I was like finally like free because someone
yeah.
knew and
yeah.
was able to like help me. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
And Lo was so great checking in on me every day, and Greta as well.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, tell someone if you're sad. Don't just sit there in silence. Tell someone that you're
sad, because chances are they're probably sad
too. That's true. But I just mean, you know, it can really help you then figure out what to do, because the minute you break that first barrier, like one person knows you're going through something, it's much easier for you to get to the next step. And just know that you're not alone. I think that's the biggest thing. I think that a lot of times when we're sad or going through something, we feel very alone, like we're the only ones feeling this way and everyone else is able to be happy and everyone else is able to do this. And I think just knowing that you're not different. Everyone has issues that they go through, and it's, you know, a lot of people just don't feel them as deep or they don't wear it as much on their shoulder, but there's definitely people there that will help you get through it. And it's really important that you deal with that.
Yeah. I would say 100% of people would spring into action if you were like, hey, like, I'm going through this and I really need, you know, your ear or hand or whatever. So, like Jill said, like, don't suffer in silence. Like, open that first door and just talk to somebody about it. And I have actually two very specific pieces of advice about anxiety, things that I've learned from, you know, going through therapy that have been really helpful for me. And I mentioned it earlier on the show. My therapist told me, you do a lot of what-ifing, you know, like, what if this happens? What if I end up here? What if I'm alone? All of these things. And he told me to replace the if with is. And so when I'm what-ifing, start what-ising. And so if I'm laying in bed and I'm like, what if, I don't know, you know, my boyfriend plane goes down when he's, you know, flying to Singapore. And I was doing this last night. And so I stopped myself and I said, what is the reality? And the reality is I'm laying in bed right now. My beautiful new puppy is in his crate right next to me. You know, the air conditioner's running and I checked flight tracker and the plane is still in the air and everything is okay.
Yep.
I'm safe. He's safe. Stop what ifing. It can drive you crazy.
It will drive you crazy.
And then, so the second thing that I learned, you know, a lot of people will say a statement and then they'll say, but, like, you know, I'm had a good day, but I'm still really sad. And I was taught to replace the word but with the word and. You know, I had a good day today and I'm still sad. And I think that it just brings you into the present and into the reality. So instead of like always qualifying, you're just able to identify the real underlying truth of what's going on. And
definitely.
I think that that is really important. So those were the two things that I wanted to mention. I think it's time to sexplore. And it's a question that we got for Sexploration, right?
Yeah, for Sexploration today, we had a listener reach out and she wanted to know how we feel about engaging in sexual activity while partying. So, like, if you're drunk, or, you know, whatever you're doing. And I think that is a very sticky subject.
I think, okay.
Greta and I are definitely going to disagree a lot on this topic, I think.
Sorry, I'm about to eat oatmeal, and I'm asking Bo if I can have almond butter.
Oatmeal during the middle of our sexploration?
Okay, here's the thing. I think that if you are out and you're drinking and you're having fun and you are flirting with a guy and you guys want to do whatever you want to do, do it. Obviously, you know, and so long as you're having a good time and it's consensual, go for it. I don't think that you should feel bad about hooking up with somebody because you've had a couple of drinks or like you're a little buzzed or drunk or whatever. I don't think there's anything to feel bad about.
I would say that a lot of times when people are drinking, their kind of inhibitions are put to the side and they're just sort of, you know, more free, which can be a good thing, but also can get you in situations where you're not that comfortable. So I would just say that, you know, for me, it's sort of like, if you don't want to do it when you're sober, don't do it when you're drunk sexually. That's kind of like my opinion.
I think that sometimes if you want to try something, but you're being a little bashful and having like two drinks will help you break down that barrier, maybe it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, like two drinks is different than being drunk, though. That's kind of what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I think it goes into just like knowing what you want from the situation. Obviously, if you don't want to be doing something, do not do it at all, period.
True, but sometimes when you're drunk, you're like, oh, maybe I want to do it. So
I don't think you should ignore that, though, if you're drunk and maybe you want to do it.
I'd say the main thing was safety. So, like, make sure that you're using protection and that you're not getting taken advantage of. You're not taking advantage of anyone else.
I've definitely have been in both situations where I've been like, nope, not comfortable with this, need to get out of this situation. And you just have to get out, vocalize it, and yeah.
Definitely. I would agree.
But don't beat yourself up if you hook up with someone drunk.
No, like, hello, never.
That happens to everyone, and it's totally fine and normal. And I hook up with I've hooked up with plenty of people drunk and sober, and, you know, it's just about finding what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. I prefer a sober hookup because then you, like, remember all the details. You know, for me, it's a better experience.
I think that for some people, though, having sex sober is, like, a big deal.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because I think it can be a big step for a lot of people.
I would just recommend trying the sober hookup. Your body's going to work better. Your mind is going to be more in tune. And I think that people use substances to lower their inhibitions. You know, they're not totally comfortable with their body or a particular sex act or something like that. And so alcohol or drugs helps them get to that place where,
I mean,
you know,
real, it took me a really long time to hook up with people sober.
Yeah, I mean, me too. But I don't know. I think if you're like just exploring sex and you're curious about, you know, doing it on some type of substance or sober, I mean, try both. But I
definitely
think,
try it with like your partner, someone you're comfortable with.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the underlying messages is like safety should be your biggest priority. You know, I think this is a really timely question because of you know, the Stanford rape that we all just heard about in the news, and you know, how that guy's getting prosecuted. And I think we all read, you know, the survivor's piece that she submitted, you know, to BuzzFeed, which she read aloud in court. And it was really powerful and really moving. And so, I, you know,
I think that guy's dick should get chopped off.
Yeah. I think just in all the takeaways, you know, make your safety a priority.
Also,
and try to do your best.
And you know what? She just goes to show, like, if something does happen to you, report it. Tell someone.
Fight Definitely. For your fucking life.
Yes, agree.
So it's like, you know, there's no shame in, unfortunately, society has created some shame around, you know, rape or being a victim of rape. And there is none. So if something happens to you, say something, report it, because you're not alone in that. And all women, and hopefully men, all stand together in believing that. So, you know, sorry that our Monday morning has turned very serious.
It's a very serious Monday.
But I do think that, do what you're comfortable with forever and always. Whether you're drunk, whether you're sober, always do what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. And if you're in trouble, try to find a woman to help you instead of a man. I know that's a really fucking shitty thing to say. And, like, it's horrible that as a woman, that's the situation we find ourselves in. But
I agree with that.
Find a woman at the party. Scream for fucking help, you know?
Well, actually, going back to that case, there was two men that helped that woman.
Yep.
So I would say just...
That is true.
You know, men are good, women are good, but find someone with a good heart, hopefully. Hopefully yeah. There's people with good hearts in this world.
Yeah. All right, should we turn this around, ladies?
Yeah.
We should always turn it around.
Turn it around. Positive day. Want me to tell you a peppy story quickly about someone that I hooked up with when I was drunk, which is definitely a hardcore no.
Fuck yeah.
Sure,
one
Greta.
Time I was drunk and I gave a guy head and I barfed on his dick. So definitely don't do that. Okay?
That's really funny.
So that's a light little touch.
I dig it. Who's our lady loving this week?
Well, I would say it's the woman who was so brave to write that 12-page letter to her, not abuser, I guess would be the word.
Rapist.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yep.
So I'd say that she's our Lady Levin. That was probably a really hard, painful thing to do, but we support you. We're with you.
And I support any, you know,
spiritually,
she's giving,
emotionally.
She's giving so many women a voice that for so long it felt, you know, so much shame and not wanting to talk about what's happened to them or the abuse that they've experienced. So your bravery does not go unnoticed and is remarkable. And, you know, you're such a strong woman and... We all stick by you.
Yeah. Well, listeners, soft and hard, that is our advice episode for this Monday. So we hope you guys enjoyed. We definitely enjoyed this episode, and we want to do more episodes like this. So please send us your questions. You can hit us up on Instagram. You can slide into our DMs. You can submit a question to us on our website, ladylovin.com. So please check us out. Get in touch and let us know how you like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We will chat with you guys next week. See ya.
Bye.
Say bye, Jill.
Bye, everyone. Love ya.